a play call.
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good. Washington wins.
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Adam Peters spoke this morning. A lot of it was about Terry McLaurin. There were a couple other updates. Dan Quinn said Sam Cosmi's back in business. He's fine. He's working his way back. I think that's kind of been the assessment. You know, there's not even that much. There's not even that many, like, position battles going into camp. You'd really like to see Trey Amos emerge. Sure, it looks like Will Harris is going to take over that safety position vacated by Jeremy Chinn's departure. Non-Terry McLaurin division, B, what do you think is the biggest training camp storyline for Washington?
Biggest training camp storyline.
I think your mic's off.
Is going to be. I'm going to still go with the D-line, how they come together. Because last year the biggest problem was run defense. And they went out and they addressed that issue. It's going to be, how does that come about? Do they come in and they start hitting the ground running? Does that chemistry form? And do they have an impact?
I think that's a good one. To me, now we're separating out Terry, right? Because that's a real unfolding, developing situation. I think the D-line's a really good one. And I almost think of it as like a whole front seven as far as trying to stop the run better. It's got to happen. I think the O-line's really interesting too. And not in a, oh man, can they do it? But to me, the O-line conversation is more, how much better can they be?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Tunsil's a big-time player, man. And
I think you're hitting on something, Jake. Last year, when they faltered as an offense, the offensive line had gotten a little banged up, but they didn't have enough depth. They showed the production fell off. This year, it looks on paper they have more depth, and you should expect if something were to happen, they could still keep going.
They should be deeper, and if your bookends. If Tunsil just matches his level of play, that's going to be really good, right? Now, maybe he'll be better. I mean, who knows? That could go a lot of ways. I think Tunsil should immediately make them better. And then if Connerly could play. Cliff Kingsbury's leaving love notes on Adam Peters' desk to draft a kid.
Like, hey, man, they didn't draft the guy in the first round. They don't think he can't play. Right. That kid's athletic, man. But it's just getting him, like, the biggest problem for young guys coming to the NFL. In college, if you're a better athlete than most, you can make mistake after mistake and still be very, very successful. In the NFL, if you're not consistent, you make those mistakes, they're going to be, you'll find out real quick. And the small mistake in college that didn't hurt you is going to hurt you dramatically in the pros. So it's making sure those young guys can get up to speed rather quickly.
For sure. I think we've talked about the running back situation. They did release Mike Wiley today. Mm-hmm. That's just to make room for Von Miller. But that running back situation is deep and complicated. At the top, you've got two players that are good football players in Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler.
Yeah.
Ekeler at one point was great. I think he's still quite good. B-Rob has shown flashes of great, has been quite good. Both those guys deal with injuries.
Yeah.
And can you stay healthy? Mm-hmm. They draft a kid in the seventh round that got absolutely screwed by the NCAA, and maybe he's a Friday night, Saturday morning kind of pick if the NCAA doesn't absolutely screw a kid just so they can assert some authority.
I asked this question to you.
And you still got C-Rod and McNichols.
Can somebody come just out the blue and make a battle into something that we don't expect? I remember James Thrash when he came to this team. James Thrash came in. He was a consummate pro. If the coach told him run to that corner right there, put your nose on the corner, come in, he's gonna do exactly what the coach said. And then he showed he could return as well. James came in and made them realize this kid can play football. Keep him on the team. Who's gonna be that type of guy?
Well, dude, last year, and I'm not comparing him to Thrash.
Owens was a guy like that last year.
Well, Thrash had exactly. Tyler Owens from day one was like, okay, that dude's on.
Everybody was like, you hear coaches, you hear all the staff start to say, Tyler Owens. I just kept hearing his name, so I started watching. I'm like, this dude wasn't drafted. You know what I mean? He can play, though.
The one question I would have wanted to get asked today, and eventually they're going to have to release a training camp roster at some point. I think it's pretty clear. Cosme will probably start on the PUP list. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's anybody else that's going to land on there. And maybe we don't need to ask this question because we should actually get some visible answer to it tomorrow. I need to know what's up with Noah Brown. It seemed like a really bad situation in minicamp, and then he ended up being okay by the looks of his Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that thing right there, when you have those, just the fear can make it look a little worse than what it is. Because when they rushed him in and then you hit the bump and he kind of screams.
Yeah.
It makes you think it's more. But, you know, you going in, you don't expect to have no bump like that.
Sure. So. And you're just also reacting in the moment, some mix of frustration, everything else.
100.
This is interesting, though. So ESPN.com did a story of the biggest storyline for every NFL team going into camp. And I'm reading now. I think Keim wrote this. After its best season in 33 years, can the Commanders provide a worthy encore in Coach Dan Quinn's second season? Was last season just the culmination of magical finishes and catching lightning in a bottle with a dynamic rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels? Or can they build off an NFC Championship game appearance? Those are all questions facing the Commanders as training camp begins. They want to prove that 2024 wasn't a fluke. Washington has not made the playoffs in consecutive seasons since 91-92. B-Mitch had a mustache. Nor has it won double-digit regular season games in back-to-back seasons since 89-91. The Commanders retained their entire coaching staff. They improved the talent on the offensive line and increased the depth on the defensive front. But they have the eighth hardest schedule in the NFL, though the easiest in the NFC East. Daniels, though, now allows them to dream big every year. So for Keim, it's like the biggest storyline is just prove last year was real.
Yeah.
And I think that's a challenge to them. And knowing DQ a little bit, I think he's very excited.
I would say it's not a challenge to them. It's something tough to prove. But we've seen a whole change in mindset over there. You know, we've heard a lot of talk over the years when Ron came in and the things he would say and even before him. But you never, ever truly felt that all that stuff was in order, right? Now, it seems like it's all in order. Because when you hear someone say something, you could be completely somewhere opposite. You hear the exact same thing. They all preach the same stuff. Players, coaches, all of them.
Even and, week to week, the theme of the week, you hear all over, up and down the building.
So, and then when you watch it, you know, just a mere little thing like this here. You remember when they started doing the little bag drills?
Yep.
I don't know if it was you or somebody that
would
say.
I think it was me.
It was you. You say, are they going to do that when things start going bad? I say, if it's something that they keep doing and the coach is consistent with it, it'll become a battle, like a battle cry for them. And you watch them every practice throughout the year. They went at it. Coming into offseason when they went out there, they did the exact same stuff. They went at it.
Yeah.
And you saw how quick the new guys caught on to it, which tells you ownership has been taken by the guys inside the locker room, not the guys up there in the offices. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And they are letting the guys know how things are. This is the This is a ritual we do right here. Let's get it done. So that little simple thing makes me say, like, they now have guys who are preaching the message. Normally, coaches are the ones doing it. But when the players start doing it, you got you something there.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on Monumental Sports, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Spent a lot of time talking about Terry McLaurin holding out. If you missed our conversation with Jeremy Fowler from ESPN or our pal Linnell, you can always grab the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Just use the term Sports Junkies. But we wanted to move off the holdout and talk about somebody that we know is going to be there. Second-year quarterback Jaden Daniels and the expectations for Jaden. It's funny because he set the bar so high, people worry about the sophomore slump. But yesterday, I saw, you know, we have ESPN on the background, and one of the topics was, would Bo Nix have a sophomore jump? And, you know, we've kind of kicked that around. Jaden Daniels could have a sophomore jump. Here's what Coach Quinn said about some expectations for Jaden in year two.
I think more growth. And one thing I've learned over the year from Jaden, and there's no limits on him, you know, because this is somebody that absolutely is a savage from a work standpoint and just absolutely puts it in. So the skill work, the techniques, the knowledge of the offense, all of those things are going to be enhanced. And he's thrown himself an excellent offseason. We had a good conversation on the phone just the other night, chopping it up about the team, the summer, the offseason. And you can feel his energy. And just walking out here, you know, when you walk into our building, there's a lot of energy with our team. And he's right in the middle of all that. But I would never count him out or, you know, put him, mistake him for not doing anything other than absolutely emptying the tank to go for it.
Man, he loves him some Jaden Daniels.
I love that term, savage.
Yeah.
I love that.
You were saying that you thought that Dan Quinn looked uncomfortable because he was crossing his arms.
These guys love each other.
He always does that, though.
Okay.
I mean, he was like this.
Okay.
He does that.
It's also just a move that people do when they're a little uncomfortable. But okay.
Yeah, I was noticing when I was watching the sports during the break, and he does cross his arms when he sits at the podium.
Like that. I think the Jaden thing, yeah, man, barring injury, I do expect growth. It doesn't mean that there won't be, like, you could play better golf and score worse. Like, I think he's gonna be a better quarterback this year than last year.
Gonna have some tougher opponents. But if you look at his first half of the season versus the second half of the season, he exploded in the passing game in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely exploded. You know, I remember you throwing out the let Jaden cook, and yeah, he really did after that.
Right.
Now, for him to cook to his maximum capacity, he needs Terry McLaurin to throw the ball to. That's a mm-hmm. huge factor.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get him signed. Let's get him in camp.
And he
because
needs
I don't love him throwing more balls to Jalen Lane and Noah Brown. I like him throwing a lot of balls to Terry McLaurin.
I know. It's almost impossible to have these conversations without talking about Terry.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me the Adam Schefter, I'm sure you guys saw it too, tweet from a year ago that when Aiyuk held in, that the deal he ultimately signed was the same deal they had on the table day one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like, literally didn't gain a penny. Allegedly.
Yeah.
It was 4 years, 120, whatever the guarantee was, and it stayed that way, and eventually he signed it.
Well, from hearing Jeremy Fowler, that was on with us in the last hour, it sounds like there's at minimum a $5 million per year
gap
between what Terry's camp wants and what the Commanders are willing to pay.
Yeah, I think he knows. He just didn't want to say it. I think it's pretty obvious.
That sounds like the minimum of the gap. It could be wider.
Like, it could be.
Yeah, it sounds like the minimum.
That's if Terry's only asking for $30
million. Yeah.
Like, if he's asking for $32.5 million, then the gap's wider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary.
But you would think if he wants 30 and Adams offering 25, all right, right there in the middle, 28.
We'll see if they can get to that number. I don't know. I don't know if that would be enough for Terry to sign.
But Fowler basically said, you know what, I'm not concerned at all. Right. It'll get done.
At some point.
He said he'd be concerned if it was week one and something wasn't done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's way down
the road. He's saying it's early.
Yes.
I just want Jaden throwing the ball to 17.
But I just do think that
I think he will be.
I do think that Terry is prideful. And it might be hard for him to accept not much movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know, man. But getting back to Jaden, Kai mentioned that I think Quinn talked about it yesterday or whatever, that one of the things they saw, like Sanestril and Jaden showed growth in their first year. What's going to be exciting is going to be see guys like McCaffrey, Sinnott, who you saw some, but their growth from those guys
take a this next year. Step.
Yeah, and he mentioned Sinnott yesterday during the opening presser as a guy that he saw definite strides from during this offseason.
And they've been made allusions to Sinnott just like not feeling like comfortable and just kind of like it was a little bit of an overwhelming mm-hmm. thing to go from the college
and you can understand
to
that
to the pro level.
Takes a while to acclimate for some guys longer than others.
A big adjustment for him. I do think that hopefully in a good way that we're sleeping on Luke McCaffrey
mm-hmm.
because he's only played receiver a little bit. He's got the unreal bloodlines. You've seen flashes. I just have, he's a hard worker. I just think there might be, and again, don't get carried away. I'm not saying he's going to have some 70 catch year, but like he could maybe really
step into that number four role.
Yeah. And maybe, I don't know. What do you have? 15 catches? Maybe go to like 35 or something. You know what I mean? Like couple a game and just like really be a bigger impact, make a couple really impactful plays this season.
I think it'll be interesting to see the impact of Deebo Samuel to the lineup. Let's assume Terry comes back. I think we all think he'll be playing in week one.
I'm convinced Deebo is going to be an absolute monster.
That Debo's going to be there. And then how Cliff Kingsbury treats the offense in year two. Going back to what I said earlier, weeks 1 through 8, halfway through the season, Jaden Daniels has 7 touchdown passes. Weeks 9 through 17, he ends up with 25. So 18 touchdown passes in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was who threw out this comparison, and they were comparing Jaden Daniels. They were like, if you mixed Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, that's Jaden Daniels.
It's a pretty good mix, pretty good cocktail if you mix those two quarterbacks.
Totally.
And take their skill set.
So he could be a 30-touchdown pass guy.
Yeah, it could be. It'll be interesting to see what effect Tunsil and let's see what Connerly. I mean, they draft mm-hmm. Connerly. He's only mm-hmm. a first-year guy. But they certainly needed to improve the offensive
line.
He's
a first-year guy, but I fully expect him to and be starting week one
at right tackle. Yeah, so you're going to have presumably two stud tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Connerly's a rookie, so he may struggle against some better edge guys, but that certainly will help. It'll help the run game and the pass game.
Connerly might be more of a project than we realize.
He might be.
He looks so baby-faced.
He might be.
I don't know.
And look, rookies will struggle. I know that.
Yeah.
But he's a first-rounder. They love him.
Yeah.
All right, let's head out to Ashburn where they are done. Day 2 practice, day 3 where they all had to officially be in and no Terry McLaurin once again. Ben Standig joins us right now from camp. He'll join us every day from camp. Let's just start with, any news related to anything.
Well, I guess the big news, I assume you talked about it already, involves things that are happening in the D.C. government, not out here in Ashburn. No real news. I mean, obviously, nothing new on the Terry McLaurin front, as far as we know. A couple guys were out today just for a vet rest day, Laramie Tunsil, Noah Brown, and Von Miller. Other than that, no news per se. They practiced. I think it was a little more of a like I said yesterday, a little more of a walkthrough-ish type practice. I think today felt more like something akin to what we might see later on this summer. But yeah, no news otherwise.
Okay. Can you learn anything from the way they're lining up, especially in 11 on 11 on day two of actual work in terms of depth chart?
I would generally say no. You know, Dan Quinn was asked today, yesterday Andrew Wiley was working with the ones over Josh Connerly, and he was asked exactly that. And he said, no, you know, we're just going to keep rotating guys around. And then the fact that Laramie Tunsil was out today, they had Wiley on the left side, Connerly on the right side. And, you know, I was like looking at when Jaden Daniels was in there, there was a mismatch.
Wait, you said Laramie Tunsil. So was it just a rest day? Are they going to take, you know, their veterans and give them ample rest even early in training camp?
Yeah, that's going to be a constant theme, yeah.
All right, so Wiley was the first guy in at tackle without Laramie Tunsil being there, is what you're saying.
Well, no, Wiley was actually with the ones yesterday as well, but they had him and Connerly today, both Wiley on the left side, on the right. The bottom line is there's no rhyme or reason, I think, right now. I mean, when Jaden was in there today, there was all kinds of sort of backup types who were with him, just, you know, they're just moving guys in around. And like at running back, like Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson weren't doing much today in 11s, so a lot of just different people out there. So, yeah, it's too early to read in anything. I'm not saying we have to wait for the pads for that, but probably have to wait at least a few more days, and then we'll start to get a better feel.
I didn't ask you this yesterday, but it was, you know, for a moment, an off-season conversation. What kind of shape is Deebo Samuel in?
I mean, I think he looks fine. I think he's, you know, I wasn't getting worked up when everybody was making fun of him for the one video where people were saying he looked a little chunky and running slow. He looks fine to me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, to actually make a good point, I didn't look at the official weight for him. They put that out yesterday once everybody passed their physicals, so I didn't actually look to see where he was at there or what they were listing him as at. But, yeah, no, I think he's looked fine. I haven't noticed anything. And, you know, I we'll see if he's getting vet rest days as well. I think, you know, like I said, they're going to not put too much on some of these guys. But Deebo is one of those where you kind of want to see him getting pushed out there to play, in part because of the last, you know, last year he wasn't clearly in the best shape and injuries have been a bugaboo here and there. So for a guy like that, I would maybe say Marshawn Lattimore also, like being out there as much as possible to me is a good indication that they're ready to go. If they start needing as many rest days as these sort of older guys like Von Miller, that's a little bit different.
You mentioned Marshawn Lattimore, and I was going to ask about him. We're talking, of course, to Ben Standig. Ben now has a Substack account. This is where he is writing. I urge you to go to Ben's Twitter account, X account, at Ben Standig, and you can link to lastmanstandig.substack.com. And I know you've got a deal going on right now, right, for the week?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you bringing this up. Yeah, deal right now for annual and monthly subscriptions. It's I think 20% off here for the first week, just to, you know, try to get everybody to take a look, and hopefully people do. It's honestly, the response has been really, really great, and I'm so humbled by everybody doing that and showing their support. So yeah, please come on board, take a look, and you know, if you followed me before and you've listened to me here with Kevin, I get so many people who tell me, yeah, I didn't read your stuff, but I listened to you on Kevin. I'm like, cool, whatever it takes, and I appreciate you listening to Kevin as well. So yeah, come on by and, you know, take a look, and hopefully we can get you on board.
Well, I urge everybody to read you too, because I think you do a phenomenal job. All right, so, you know, one of the things that we, you know, observed during the free agency period is the effort to get bigger on defense, especially up front. What does Javon Kinlaw look like in person, size-wise?
You know, as it were, like, some people can be listed the same height or weight, and yet it just looks different. Right. He's like one of those kinds of guys. Yeah. Whatever he's listed at, 6'5", whatever the exact weight is, it is... He's just a specimen, you know. The gods, you know, created this guy, you know, And it's really impressive on Athletic. It's funny, though, because he's wearing number 52, which is a linebacker number. So I feel like the linebacker number is almost making him look a little smaller, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's a huge guy. He's been working, again, we're not taking too much into wherever he's lining up right now, but he's been working primarily with the twos that I've noticed the last couple of days, which is, you know, not a the defensive tackle rotation is going to be fascinating considering you've got the established guy in Daron Payne, you got the second-round pick last year in Johnny Newton, you got a run stuffer in Eddie Goldman, and you have Kinlaw, who they gave the three-year, $45 million contract to. For the most part, you can't play more than two of those guys at a time. So how does that rotation play out, I think, will be a really interesting thing. But, he's big. And when we've talked to the players who were here last year about the added size, including a Dietrich Wise, you know, they're like, yeah, we definitely are a lot bigger. And they all seem to think it's going to be a big help against the run and just overall.
You know, we heard a lot of complimentary thoughts about Daron Payne, remember, during OTAs and minicamp. I mean, Quinn went out of his way, Witt Jr. went out of his way to sort of isolate and identify Daron as really looking good and really fit. Quinn even mentioned him the other day in the introductory press conference. So should we expect that this could be, you know, it's not a contract year technically. He's got a year left on his deal, but it could be a John Allen situation after this upcoming season. Like, I feel Daron has a chance to have one of those seasons like he had in 2022. Do you think they feel the same way out there?
I think, when they were really talking him up, back in OTAs and minicamp, I remember one day I asked Joe Witt, just like, hey, you know, you're obviously trying to get a look at these guys now they're coming back off their off seasons. Who's been standing out to you? And Daron was the one he went to right away. And, you know, whether that's them wearing, you know, burgundy colored glasses, or that's the reality, or that's the motivation, or whatever, you know, they seem to be talking him up in that regard. That would be huge. Forget, I already, because whenever this comes up, people always say, yeah, but I wouldn't want to sign him again after if it's another contract year. Don't worry about that later. In terms of this team, this year, as we know up front, they don't really have one dynamic guy. I mean, Frankie Louvu is obviously a big threat off the edge. They just got Von Miller, but, you know, there's not one true defensive lineman that is, you know, creating double teams and all that. And he has the potential to be that guy. We saw it in 2022 when he was at 11 and a half sacks. But for the most part of his career, he's been, you know, under five sacks. And, you know, he was fine the last couple of years. It's just he wasn't worthy of a guy getting paid the money he's getting paid, or not to mention, you know, in the discussions with guys like Dexter Lawrence and Carter up in Philadelphia, who, you know, are just proven to be more, you know, play in, play out, impressive players. So, hopefully from there, for their perspective, Payne does find this extra gear, whatever the reasoning is, whatever the motivation, I think that would go a long way towards, you know, to at least addressing the concerns that we all, I think, still have about this defense and whether or not they really have enough pieces to, you know, be more than just a passenger in this team to ride. Again, we think the offense should be pretty good. The defense has got to do more. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be hard to repeat. And if Daron Payne plays like he did in 2022, then we may be talking about a different story.
What about the notion, I know you have heard this, I've heard this as well, that Daron's ready to thrive with John Allen gone? What do you make of that? Do you believe that?
If you tell me that's ultimately a reason why he has a good year, that won't be a stunner to me. I mean, like, when you go back to when they had the four first-round picks on the line together, Daron was typically the one that was like the least discussed, right? I mean, Chase Young was the number two pick and had a lot of hype. John Allen was the first one. It was the first one to be a Pro Bowl player. Sweat had this sort of crazy athleticism off the edge. And Daron was, you know, the workman-like guy, super strong, but, you know, sacks get a lot of attention and he wasn't that guy. And now those three are gone. He's the last one left. He's Will Smith in the meme, standing in the living room with an empty living room, and this is his chance. I mean, it's his time. And last year, obviously, John Allen was hurt for most of the year, but this, you know, from the start, it's that. And look, we all remember their little pushing contest on the sideline in that Dallas disaster game a couple of years ago. And, you know, it was notable because these are two guys that have been teammates for a long time going back to Alabama. And, you know, I never kind of assumed that they were BFFs. You know, they had the Deron Payne's locker was across the locker room from where the other defensive linemen were. This is in the other regime when they had everybody grouped by positions. The current situation, they're just all mixed up. All that to me suggested it's not necessarily the best of relationships. And, there could be a little bit extra in his step these days, knowing, hey, it's my show, so to speak. I'm the guy. These other guys are all gone. Let me show what I can do without them around.
All right. Von Miller spoke after practice, his first opportunity with, you know, you guys on the beat. What did he say? Impressed with him? Give us the gist of anything that came out of Von Miller's mouth today.
Well, Kevin, I know that occasionally you'll ask the team PR for a guest to come on, and it would be great to get Jaden, or if Terry McLaurin is around, it would be great to get him, and then just kind of go from there. I would suggest to you that if you're going to skip the Jaden and Terry ask, go for Von Miller. We spoke for 20 minutes, and there's probably like six or seven different quotes that he had that I could lead a story with, just in terms of the analogies he was using and the way, the passionate way he was talking about things. He was asked, Among the things I'm remembering here, he was asked, you know, why did you pick Washington? And he said, look, obviously, it's, you know, there's a lot of improvement here, the year they just had. And he's like, but look, you don't leave Josh Allen for just nothing. You know, it's got to be something good to do that. And that was one. I asked him, you know, if you look at the pass rush numbers last year, raw numbers, he's not one of the league leaders with six sacks. But in terms of, like, efficiency, play-by-play, in terms of reps and sacks. So I said, how have you learned to do that? He's like, well, look, I'd rather play all the time because I like to set up offensive linemen with certain moves. Now I don't have that opportunity. So he's like, now when I come off the bench, and he is a known basketball fan, Kobe Bryant fan, he said, now when I come off the bench, I'm just shooting threes. Nope, I'm dribbling, shooting threes. No passing, none of that. I'm just getting my shots up.
Right, the ball hits his hands, it's going up. Nobody else is touching it.
Right. And, you know, he also talked, I asked him about Bobby Wagner. You know, they've not played together, but they've, you know, been, contemporaries throughout their career. Both look like they're going to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, what's that like? He goes, yeah, you know, Bobby's always like stealing my votes for all pro at linebacker and things like that. And, you know, said a lot of complimentary things, though, about him. And, yeah, there was just a lot. You can tell he very much likes not just to talk, but, I mean, he very much – he's willing to share what he's thinking about his career, how he's preparing for the season, whatever it may be. So, yes, I would highly recommend. Like, look, you can just skip your last hour of the show. Go put it the last 20 minutes. Go find the Von Miller audio and just play that. You'll be fine.
That's interesting advice. I'm certainly going to consider that. We are talking to Ben Standing. All right, last one, because I didn't ask you about him yesterday, but I think we talked about him a few weeks ago as, you know, a guy that's got something to prove. You know, we did that segment, who's got the most to prove, and you mentioned to me, let's not forget, Matt Gay has something to prove, and they need him to be good this year. They had, you know, all those kickers last year. So how has he looked so far in camp? Do you think they got it right with Matt Gay? We don't know until regular season starts, but does he look like he can kick?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, not only is it only 2 days, the kicker, at least when we're out there, you know, isn't always getting a ton of reps. They did like have him on the field today, and they were going through the play itself, but then like he actually wouldn't kick it. They would just, you know, block. Tressway would get the snap and hold, but he wouldn't actually kick yesterday. He did, as I recall, made a couple of, you know, decent kicks for sure. But, you know, look, this is a guy who, you know, just a couple of years ago was good enough that the Colts gave him, as a free agent, the highest free agent kicker contract ever. And he went to when he went to Indy, it just did not work. He was really unreliable from 50 plus, and his overall percentage went down. But, you know, we've seen him do this before and be successful. And, look, there is no other kicker here in camp, so I think they're pretty confident that he's going to be the solution. And, you know, look, I mean, whether he is you know, a top five kicker in the league, you know, who can say, but, you know, they just need somebody not only be consistent, somebody who's got a leg, he has that, and, you know, somebody you can feel confident with. You know, the guys that they had last year, you know, some of them did fine jobs, here, you know, here and there, but, you know, it always felt like, oh, boy, what's going to happen here with Seibert and Zane Gonzalez, you know, like, okay, he made that one good. You know, when Zane Gonzalez, he hit the post in Tampa, right, to get that one. So I think they feel both more generally confident, and then hopefully he can be more consistent than he was last year from distance, but at least I think they feel they have a guy that when they're at, you know, a 55-yarder, it's not like, well, we better go for it. I think they feel they have a guy that they can confidently believe has a chance to make those.
At Ben Standing, everybody, his podcast is Last Man Standing, and his new Substack is lastmanstanding.substack.com. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Awesome. See ya.
Grant and Danny, exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate, administration. They cover it all. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Jordan McGee. I think he's an important player. Underrated. I'm not going to go full X-factor, pendulum swing, or anything like that, but I think he is quietly a guy that could help a lot defensively this year.
There was a buzz about him last year, if you recall, and then injuries just kind of derailed everything. We never really got to see it. And now, because of that, I think totally under the radar, but I think there's some momentum to him getting a lot more snaps maybe than people realize.
He was a fifth-round pick, 139 overall, last year. If not for an injury, I do think he would have played a bunch more, but overall he ended up playing a total of 15 snaps, 3% of the plays defensively Washington was on the field for, he got on the grass for. That's going to change this year, it would appear. But I really enjoyed my conversation with him today. He is a 24-year-old. He actually was born in Towson, Maryland. He went to school at Temple. This is the 6'3", 225-pound linebacker, Jordan McGee, from after today's practice.
Jordan, big year for you. Healthy opportunity now, potentially, to play some more because of Frankie Louvelle coming down and rushing. How much could your role potentially change and elevate this year?
You know, it could change a lot. You know, Coach Witt, you know, he talked about the three linebacker package. You know, me coming in for bigger personnel, 12, 13, or whatever Witt's thinking, you know, bringing Frankie down to the rush and have me and Bobby patrolling off the ball. So, you know, just a lot of different things, a lot of different mixes and matches you could do with us three out there.
I don't know how you'd sum up your rookie year. I'm sure it didn't go exactly how you wanted.
Yeah.
But did you get enough out of it to kind of position yourself this offseason to get to work and say, this is where I need to be?
Yes, 100%. You know, it can't have no regrets. You know, I got hurt. It is what it is, you know. But I tried to come back, you know, be relentless and be resilient in my work ethic, you know. Coming into this offseason, the main thing for me was to be healthy. So really honed in on taking care of my body, making sure I'm good to go for fall camp and preseason into the season.
What changed in terms of your prep? I mean, are you the same height, weight you were? Is it like your quickness? What were you really working on?
I say really just mobility. For me, I'm a very muscular guy. So, you know, and our dietitian, Sam, you know, wanted me to actually gain more fat so I can be more, not more so much tense, but like main thing for me is really just stretching, mobility, ankle mobility.
You can't pull
like
fat. As a fat guy, I could tell you that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so for me, main thing is mobility, like ankle mobility, things like that. Things that can help my joints and limbs move freely, like more freely than what it was. And, you know, so I'm not restricting my body in certain positions.
I don't know if it's too soon to even think about this because you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to study with Bobby Wagner, you know, there are guys that'll play long careers. I mean, this is 99th percentile of best opportunity you could ever have.
Like,
what has that done to change your mental?
You know, my mental has changed like a lot just because, you know, I'm learning from a future Hall of Famer. You know, you always have those guys when you learn from future Hall of Famers and, you know, you get to go under their wing, you see why they are a Hall of Famer, why they are the way they are. And, you know, being around Bobby, I see why he is the way he is. And, you know, I'm trying to just mimic that. That first year, I tried to mimic that, you know, try to while learning my routine, I was always also taking stuff from his routine and putting it into my routine. So, you know, little things like that just helped me throughout the offseason coming into fall camp.
When you're not getting ready for the football season or doing football-related activities, what things do you like to do for fun?
You know, I like to ride ATVs, quads. I like to go fishing a lot. You know, I go fishing with a couple of my teammates, Percy, Andre Jones. You know, we just was fishing like two, three days ago down in Fairquhar County, I think.
Fauquier.
Yeah, yeah, Fauquier, yeah, County. So we was down there. You know, I caught a couple catfish, a couple bluegill, cooked them up. You know, so I like to do outdoors.
You don't mind doing the whole thing, like cutting them?
Oh, nah, yeah, I'm fine with that, yeah. So I got my little electric knife, you know, fillet the catfish, you know, because if you got a regular fillet knife, it's kind of hard to do that. So, you know, it makes it easy when you got that electric knife.
Movie guy? Netflix guy?
I like movies more than shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it take too much time?
Yeah. But if it's a good show, I'll watch it. But shows just like, you know, like The Wire. Wire's a good show, but there's just so many episodes in it. Like, I don't have time to watch all those episodes.
That's relatable. My problem.
Yeah, I like watching movies. So for me, like, you know, Friday, when we get our break on Saturday, you know, I'm going to watch that new new Happy Gilmore 2. Yeah, so I'm waiting for that to come out on
Have you hit
Friday.
The theater to see any of the, we got, like, Superman right now?
I seen
F1. F1 was awesome.
That's movie of the year right now.
It's a banger.
Yeah, that's movie of the year. I love the Brad Pitt and Damson in it. So they did a great job in that movie. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you. Good luck. Can't wait to see you on the field.
Yeah, most definitely. I appreciate you, boss.
I dug Jordan McGee there. First of all, F1 is a smashola.
Likeable dude, yeah.
Great film, and I'm glad that he liked it. Sounds like he's all about fishing. Got really excited. He lit up talking about his electric knife and getting to flay the fish. To me, I can't do that. The fishing part is gross, just having to bait the hook and get the fish off the line. I would do it. There's just days where you're like, okay, I'm going to smell bad and be sweaty. Yeah. And I could do it, but I'd rather not. But the actual cleaning of the fish, nah, I'm good. I'm not doing that.
I don't enjoy that part. The people that do, God bless you, we need you. And I'm dead serious about that. Yeah. Like years ago for a buddy's wedding, he took all the groomsmen, all the dudes. We went out, like his future brother-in-law is a professional fisherman. Off of like Nantucket Island.
An angler?
Yeah. So like if you ordered fish for dinner at the wedding, we caught it. One of the coolest experiences I've ever had. So I'm out there in the middle of the ocean fighting some bluegill, this, that, or the other, or this
Did
trout.
Did they really turn around and serve the fish? That's wild.
It was seriously, it was wild caught fish.
Wild caught salmon.
Yeah. And we did the whole thing and it was so much fun. It was one of the great experiences of my life. But when we get back, I'm like worried. Like I caught this big sea trout or bass. I can't remember what the hell it was. For people's dinner, am I going to have to do something with it? And he's like, no, I'm literally a professional. You go sit down there and have like a cup of soup or something.
Was this the shooter wedding?
No, this is a different one.
Okay.
And
you did a lot of Boston weddings.
Yeah. Actually, remarkably, a lot of them. But anyway, so like watching him do it, I go, you're right. He should do all of them. Like he had the electric knife. It took him 7 seconds to like take the spine out, this, that, and the other. And
my
I'm going,
brother's a chef,
I shouldn't
and
do
like,
it. Yeah.
You give him a fish and you just watch him. And I'm like,
how do you do that?
I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I can't do that. I already cut myself once.
How about the relatable content of my guy Jordan McGee?
Oh, I hated that so much.
Saying if there's a lot of episodes, I'm out on TV shows. I don't have time for all that mess. Love that.
I know. It
thought about you when he said it.
I know. This is an extension of my least favorite Grant pathology. So you'll have like an outrageous food take of some kind, right? You go like in a sea of outrageous food takes. You'll find one person that agrees with that one, that specific one. Now, they don't share all of yours because you have, again, an ocean of these things.
I don't need them to agree with all of them.
Well, when you find someone that agrees with one, because that's what we're talking about, that one, you strut around here like Vince McMahon. You
it's
feel so
enough.
Validated.
I've got company.
Too much quality TV programming. Not for me. You and Jordan McGee high five, and now you're in here just grinning, waiting for that answer, staring at me like, ha, 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 I gotcha.
Movie over TV shows makes sense, though, from that perspective.
From that perspective.
He just doesn't have the time to engage.
You can't tell the same caliber of story in 100 minutes than you can over episodes with arcs.
Pretty good director could figure it out. I mean, the longer a show is does not mean it's better.
No, of course. Like Grey's Anatomy has been going on for 40 years.
I don't even mean seasons as much as episodes. But like my point is you're saying, well, it's the more minutes you have, the better. Not necessarily.
No, I'm not saying.
You might be able to do more, but I could do a better 2-hour movie. Like, I'll give you a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never saw the TV show, so, but I'm going to assume it wasn't as good.
Right.
Because Queen Latifah was involved, I think, or maybe I'm making that up. But like Equalizer with Denzel Washington was a movie for 2 hours.
That should be a movie.
Then it became a TV show.
Yeah, that's a movie.
Another one. My guy, Bob Lee Swagger, Shooter, is the movie. Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Slept on, underrated, You Sleep, Darris Sleeps, Bennett Sleeps, Toby's out cold, Linnell needs an alarm clock. Everybody doesn't understand how good Shooter is.
Okay.
Then they do a TV show. The TV show wasn't very good. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just, movies can be better than TV shows.
Of course they can.
Just spreading it out over 10 episodes doesn't get you to the finish line.
No, but I'm not advocating. I'm not talking against movies. My point is, TV is now the place. It used to be like an actor was like, oh my God, you're a movie star. You can't go back to TV. Now that's where the prestige is. Like that's where the long character arcs, the development, the push and pull, all the different things. You could do a lot more than you ever could on TV.
I'll see that and I'll raise you this though. I think that the streaming devices are the place.
Yes.
And they got into the TV game before they got into the movie game. That's about to change. So like Apple TV, whatever that app is called.
Yeah, Netflix turns out a Chris Hemsworth movie every hour.
Exactly, but not first. I mean, they did a lot of their own TV stuff initially. Netflix maybe is a little different, but I'm thinking more like Apple did a bunch of TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
F1 is their first movie.
Yep.
It is a smash, mm-hmm. and they're going to do a lot of films. Does Brad Pitt prefer to be in their next blockbuster flick, or does he want to be in a 10-episode series where he's a detective trying to get to the bottom of something in New Orleans? I'm going to say Brad Pitt probably wants to be in the movie. We haven't seen him do the TV thing.
He is not.
I think Paramount or some of these others, like I think movie stars, the Denzel ain't going to be in a 7-episode HBO short. You might be able to get John Barenthal to do it. You're probably going to get an answer from who's the guy I love? Vincent D'Onofrio, like an actor like that. Awesome actors.
He's in stuff. Yeah, there's some guys that won't make it, that won't do it. But
movie stars, man.
Well, Kevin Costner's a movie star. McConaughey's a movie star. He did True Detective, and it was awesome.
Yes,
like,
he did.
My point is, it's not the taboo that it used to be, right? Where it's like a movie star could never be seen doing something on TV.
The game has changed,
sure. But there are a lot of guys, you're right, the old school guys. Like, if Tom Hanks is on a TV show again, I'll eat my hat. You know, but
again, was he on one before?
That's how he got a start on.
You mean as a star? Okay.
Yeah,
I thought he was on one recently.
Oh no, but yeah, I mean, there's still a separation. I'm not running down movies. I'm simply saying your dismissal of television, if it's not a 3-episode whodunit miniseries that only lasts 14 minutes each,
that is the preference.
That's frustrating. It's frustrating, as Fred Smoot says. There's so much good television.
I do love TV, though. I mean, I watch a lot of programs. I told you got to check out
Football doesn't count.
Stick.
I've heard it's good.
Owen Wilson, the golf it's really show good. On Apple. It's pretty funny.
Second person told you that you told me it was good. I've heard someone else tell me it was excellent.
I think you'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's entertaining. We should probably get back really quickly before we move on to Jordan McGee and the guy that was the focus of that interview, not the TV and the movie stuff that he brought up. But what is the percentage of snaps do you think that would be reasonable for him this year? Again, last year he played in 3% of snaps.
I think that number goes up significantly. Now,
I think there's a chance he plays in like 15-20%.
I was going to say 35-40%. I think like your,
that would be a ton.
I think your base defense, if there is such a thing in this NFL now, might include him. Like I think you'll see him a lot. I think teams are going to go. I mean, it depends on who you're playing and the circumstances, right? But like if a team that only wants to spread you out, that has their quote unquote base package on offense is 11 personnel or 3 wide receivers.
Yeah, if you're
or
playing
whatever,
against a heavy run team like Philly with Barkley, maybe
you might see them more.
But I just have a hard time believing they're going to have 3 backers on the field very often. I know they'll do it more based on what Dan Quinn has said, but almost half the time that's tough. As you just said, you kind of brought up my point. I mean, the league has changed so much to the point now where it's spread, it's nickel and dime. You always prefer for the extra DB and the flexibility of like a safety over a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's, they drafted a safety last year and Dominique Hampton as an example, who has like linebacker traits. You almost want that guy out there who can turn and flip his hips and run in the secondary if need be, an extra like a Percy Butler type, something like that, Jeremy Reeves. I don't know. That's a lot, but I think we're in agreement, it sounds like, that McGee's role is about to exponentially change.
I'm just doing the math. I mean, if you move Frankie Louvu into a pass rushing role where he's a linebacker in name only, then are you really just basically saying we're going, Well, an extra safety in there, and
but they're close not going to do scrimmage. That. I mean, let's agree. Well, maybe we don't agree. As much as I'm singing that Luvu is going to be a pass rusher, I still think it's not going to be what he majors in. He's going to minor in that. You think he's going to basically be their edge player, like all the time on passing down?
Yes.
God, would I love that. Oh, I go to bed praying for that at night, that everyone in the family is healthy and that Frankie Luvu's a full-time edge. I don't see that. I think he's going to
be used
in situations that way.
I think I saw this number, and again, I'm sure I'll botch it, so I apologize, but it's trying to illustrate the point. He was one of the only players in the league to be 200 times run defense, 200 times pass defense, 200 times rushing the passer. I think a lot of those numbers are going to change. I think it's now, hey, when you were covering, you're not anymore. You're now rushing the passer. Running downs, you're a linebacker, right? And, if a team runs, you're going to have linebacker responsibilities at times, even if you're a stand-up defensive end or something
to
that effect.
But then it gets more predictable. You take away a little of his secret sauce, I think.
I think they're willing to trade that for, we don't have another good pass rusher that's not named Von Miller.
Dorrance Armstrong.
Right. I think Armstrong's fine. Their most dynamic guy, who didn't rush near as often as anyone else, had 8 sacks last year. And they'll go, if we rush him 150, 200 more times, and he gets the double digits, 10, 11, that's worth it to us.
Now, you're preaching to the choir. I don't think you have the luxury of doing it that much more. I'd love that. And if they think Jordan McGee is really, really good, then maybe they could pull that off, which he's going to have to go out and have a big preseason to give them the flexibility and the confidence to feel like they could do that.
So here we are. I don't know when we get to this, but I couldn't help. Dan Quinn talks every morning before practice, right? Yeah. And DQ said a lot of interesting things. I think he made a good point, and maybe it was DA. I don't remember who asked him, but like some of the problems in the social media content age is that like people will take 4 words of a paragraph and make that a thing. And all of a sudden yesterday people are like, oh, Sam Cosmi might be ready for week 1.
Yeah, that was DA asked that question.
That the situation is Cosmi is on PUP to start camp. Yep. So he could just stay on PUP until they activate him later. Now they could keep him on PUP, get him on the roster, put him on IR. That means he's out at least 4 weeks. They're basically trying to maneuver the roster rules so that if they think Sam can go week 3, okay, then we don't have to put him on IR. But if they know, all right, he's not going to be able to go till week 5, then they know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And there's zero hurry for that. So it's not about Cosmi playing week 1. It's about where he lands on the roster to create the most roster spots and to give them access to Sam should he be ready.
Yeah, but he never completely ruled that out in his answer either.
Agreed.
He said, I'm not saying yay or nay, but I'm just saying what we're trying to do. We're trying to maneuver this thing to make it a lot easier for us to do it.
Well, and so it just – the way DQ talked is, yeah, we're going to see in about a month.
Yeah.
A month from now is August 24th. They'll have just played their final preseason game. And you're still 2 weeks out from your first regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I wanted to point that out is if they're not worried about their starting right guard, who's arguably Pro Bowl level for another month as far as his injury status, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw him jogging out there today. He's moving around pretty well. No brace, no bandages. If they're content to just watch that play out for a month and then kind of circle back to it and make some decisions – for all of the, oh, my God, what's happening with Terry, like you can almost put that on a similar timeline. The questions aren't about health with Terry, obviously.
Yep.
But, like, the time they need a decision on that is probably relatively similarly.
I think you're talking to a wall if you think the fans are not going to get up worried about it. That's what they do.
I get that.
I think ultimately those situations are the same. You'll see when they're worried about it. But I don't think we can solve any of it anyway, fans or whoever, no matter what we say or think. And I think that's the thing. We really think if we worry more, things something going to happen. I don't buy that.
Agreed. I also noticed – now, granted, it's only – today's what, Thursday? So DQ talked – Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We found out officially Terry was a camp holdout Tuesday evening. So then DQ talked yesterday, and said, I'm not going to judge it. I want him here, but he's got to do his thing. I don't think Dan got asked about Terry this morning.
I didn't hear anything.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't hear anything. I mean, what else are you going to say?
Right.
You know, if you don't see his car pulled in the parking lot, ain't much you can ask.
Right. I think, you know, the Terry stuff, I feel a little bit of Terry isn't here fatigue. I think yesterday it was certainly a story because it's the first day of camp, but yesterday was also so exciting just to have football back, just to watch Jaden Daniels throwing passes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of folks, the Terry thing was, I got asked this last night on Channel 4, you know, is this a distraction? And you went through this as a player. I know my theory here is that, like, when guys are on the field and in the locker room, they're not talking or thinking about that. It's just basically when the media asks them about it.
100%.
When you were a player and somebody was in a contract situation, was it on your mind?
No. It wasn't on my mind. I would tell the reporters, I'm not talking about their business because I'm not going to want them to talk about mine.
Wagner said about that. Wagner's line yesterday was terrific. He's like, you know, this is a business, and some business isn't your business.
Yeah, that's it. And I think we all assume every player is concerned about everything going on. And most guys don't ever think of anything like that unless you ask questions.
I thought you would really like this. I wanted to read this to you. Bobby Wagner yesterday kind of got asked about the age thing.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was just so good. He said, some of it, I think, is the media's perception of what old is. Because if you say 35 in any other industry, we're considered super young. But 35 in this industry, you almost think that we are like 200 years old or something. So I think it's the media pushing in, my opinion, that narrative. But where that marriage comes is, it's always kind of funny. If you watch a guy that's been in the game for a long time that understands and you watch a rookie, there's not that many steps because you know where the ball's going. So he might take 10 steps to get where he needs to be while I'll just take 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't waste movement. And that's kind of where that comes. You hear checks, you hear different things, and you can make up for maybe some of the speed or whatever by just knowing where the ball's going. And so this guy that's moving quick and moving this and doing that, you beat him to the spot just because you know where the spot's at faster than he is. So I've always thought this game has been more mental and physical as you get older. You got to use your mind.
When the people would always say that football is 95% mental and 5% physical, I used to always tell them just go play it. But that's basically what he's saying. I always use the example, Matt Millen. Matt Millen was slower than the D lineman. But Matt Millen arrived at the spot before everybody because he knew what was going on. A young guy who's very fast. Remember I told you about Cole Holcomb?
Yeah.
I say, yeah, because everybody say how fast he was. I say, yep. He run himself right out of position because he don't know where the hell he's supposed to be. Or he's running over there very late, and he does something stupid. Well, that veteran player already has figured out where they're going, and he takes less movement, less step, less effort, and makes the play over and over again. But I would just have to tell Bobby, it's not a media thing. The front offices use that to try to hold people back. And then they'll tell you the media keep pushing it. They don't talk about it unless the front office talk about it.
That was the one thing I wanted to say. It is front office driven.
If the front office would not talk about it, the media wouldn't talk about it. That's why I try to just get rid of it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've got to examine your roster from 100 different angles. That's kind of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to allow for outliers and guys that can do stuff beyond what the data set shows, because every year those guys exist. And, you know, there was a reason all the analytic people liked Drake May over Jaden Daniels. And a lot of it was just based on, like, unseen potential. Remember Jaden's age was a talking point going into the draft? Like, how absurd does that sound? And Drake may end up being a great quarterback. Like, I just think when you were talking about age of a player that was 22 – you're overthinking it. And I don't know. With Terry, dude, maybe there is some real concern. Like, you know, in golf, shooting your age is a pretty incredible feat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Terry to make his age at 32, maybe that gives the Commander's brass some pause. But I don't think age should be the driving factor in getting the deal done.
I've gotten better with age in golf. I don't know if that works.
Did you ever lose a step football-wise?
When I was playing?
Yeah.
No. You remember they say I lost a step here.
Right.
And my last game was a 100-yard touchdown. And then I went to Philly and I had more steps. I had more touchdowns than the people that they went to get that they thought were faster and better. So, as I stated, if I did lose it, I found it on 95 on my way to Philly.
But at the same time, you must have seen some guys lose steps, right? Like, because as much as there are guys that continue their game, Bobby Wagner's a prime example. You're mm-hmm. a prime example. There are guys that fall off.
But see, this is the question. Did the guy have a step to lose? Okay? D. Green was running 4.13. If he lost a step, he runs 4.2.
True.
Still faster than all other damn people running with him. So until he gets to about 4.6, him losing steps don't make a difference, does it?
Especially if you're smarter.
So when you are a running back, if you were running 4.4, and now you're running 4.49, 4.5, is that real slow? But you lost that step, but now instead of rounding out like you did when you were a young guy, you're cutting everything real sharp. So now your quickness take over instead of your speed. You know, people always say he's quick, he's not fast. A quick guy gets through a hole. And then if the guy has come downhill and then that guy is chasing you, that guy who's faster than you may not catch you if you have the endurance to keep running. You have the physicality to keep going. So that lost a step thing is just something they throw out there. Because that thing, you can take it all types of directions.
For sure. I think a lot of reasons front offices want young guys, let's be honest.
They're cheaper. And they are not as smart. Sometimes you can manipulate that. I'm not saying they're not as smart on the field. They know football. But sometimes you can do things with young people you can't do with that veteran guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a lot of time you notice some coaches, they were here, want to get the veteran guy out the locker room because he educates kids too much. He let them know what they shouldn't be doing. When you're doing some practice stuff that's not supposed to be happening, the veteran guy can tell you about it. He understands all the rules. The young guy just do whatever the coach wants him to do.
Well, dude, it's interesting because we put this on All Ears last night. I thought it was really interesting. Wagner got asked about why the guys want to play for DQ.
Uh-huh.
And he said that. He's like, Dan lets you be yourself. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to bring you in to conform to what somebody else wants. And
one thing he wants people that want to work.
Right.
If you want to work, then you can be a little aloof. Or you could be the hip. Like Joe Gibbs. Joe had people from all different walks of life, bro. Darrell Green and John Riggins aren't the same people. Let's get that straight.
Right.
You know, Mark Rippon and Alvin Walton, they ain't sure not to say. They both from the West Coast. One guy from Washington State, other guy from Compton.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Well, and that's one of the best parts about football is there's a role for everybody.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Tall, short, skinny, fat, slow, fast. I think, you know, as they continue to build this thing out, you do see, listen, man, it's July 24th. If everybody's not getting along well, you're doing something wrong anyway. But, like, you do see the real team building they put in and what it means. Also today, when you hear these veteran players say how well Dan Quinn takes care of them, you got Von Miller and Laremy Tunsil on the second day of camp getting a veteran day off.
Mm-hmm.
So I
used to think about that, too. I just thought about it when you mentioned it earlier. They get a day off because you know why? People think, oh, they just showed up to camp yesterday. They're getting a day off. They were working out all the way up to training camp. So now they're getting that day off. You know what I mean? Like, you think about it where, you hear the coaches are leaving for that month. The player can't take a month off.
Right.
You get in shape all that time, then you take a month off, and now you come to camp, you'll die.
I mean, you might get cut. Like, depending on the type of player you are,
yeah.
what you are contractually.
You got to keep working out, man.
So. That's a great point. I think, you know, with DQ and the staff they've put together, they are pushing all the time. I mean, these practices are up-tempo. I posted this one video of the D-line going through drills, and it was so fast and so furious, mm-hmm. to quote Vin Diesel. Like, it was just – the pace with which they're going. They're also going to ramp this thing up a little bit more. Yesterday was probably a little less than 90 minutes. Today, I think it's going to be closer to 100, closer to 2 hours. It's just they know how to build the organization out here. And the Terry thing is lingering and probably will continue.
So yesterday, ESPN.com put out a list of the best and worst rosters in the NFL. They ranked every roster.
Yep.
So
they ranked basically projecting the starters.
This is compiled from NFL analysts Mike Clay, Aaron Schatz, and Seth Walder. Mm-hmm. They combined the rankings to form the ultimate preseason roster ranking, considering factors such as talent, age, and production. I'm going to give you the bottom three teams, then the top three teams, and tell you where the Commanders land after that. So let's scroll down and see what fan bases are going to have a really rough go of it this upcoming season.
Bereft of talent.
All right, at number 32, they do not have the worst roster, according to this survey, this study. The worst roster is in New Orleans.
Ah.
So they're ranked 32 out of 32 NFL teams.
Big question mark at quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to go with Spencer Rattler. Is it Tyler Shuck, the rookie?
Yep, he could be the number one.
At 31, they have the Cleveland Browns, which I think makes sense. They've got a lot of issues at quarterback. They've got Joe Flacco. They've got Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders.
Did I see that he did go public with his number one in Cleveland, or did I read that wrong? Did they announce?
Was it Pickett?
I don't know.
I don't know if they've announced it.
I thought they decided. I thought I read somewhere that they had decided the number one.
I mean, okay. I don't know what you read. I haven't seen that.
Okay. Then I misinterpreted.
I mean, if I had to guess, it would be Pickett, but who knows.
And at number 30, they do have the Carolina Panthers, who you mentioned. So those are your bottom three teams in this roster sampling and roster rating.
I think I have a pretty good idea of the top two, at least.
Who do you think is the number one team, the number one roster?
I think it's either the Philadelphia Eagles or the Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens come in at number one. Their biggest strength, Lamar Jackson. Their biggest weakness, Valdez, I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, guard. The interior offensive line is the biggest weakness for this Ravens squad.
I think they got along fine with it last year. I'd say the biggest weakness is probably pass rush.
Okay.
And maybe off-ball linebacker and Trenton Simpson. And I guess or you could say your rookie kicker.
Tyler Loop.
Yes.
That is the rookie kicker.
Yeah. Non-starter to know. Now, I'll tell you what, Baltimore's secondary is legit.
You know, they added Alexander.
I mean, they're just going to be really good. It's going to be almost impossible to throw on this.
Who else do they have?
I mean, they got Hamilton.
Marlon Humphrey.
Wiggins, Humphrey. They drafted Alexander.
Starks.
Yeah, and they're just legit.
All right, third team, we're going to.
Well, the second team is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I knew that had to be the top two. And third team, can I guess?
Sure. You want a hint, a slight hint?
Sure.
The Commanders play this team and play them in the playoffs this most recent year.
Okay, I was going to go Detroit.
Detroit Lions. They have as the third ranked team this roster list.
They already suffered a season-ending injury to one of their defensive players. They've had a lot of bad luck with defensive players.
Had an ACL tear.
Yeah.
Can I just cut to the chase about what people...
I don't know if he was supposed to be a starter, but maybe a backup.
People in town care about... Are we...
When they don't care about the Lions?
Are we middle of the pack, I'm guessing?
No.
No.
We're below middle of the pack?
No, we've got to be upper middle.
Top 10.
Yeah. We got Jaden. It starts with the quarterback as they assess it.
Well, I would say
Walder's an analytics guy, too.
I would say it starts with Jaden, obviously, but we get killed for having such an old roster that I thought that they would disrespect
them. I'm going to say six.
You're very close. They have the Commanders as the seventh best roster in the entire NFL.
That's way higher than I would have anticipated.
For their biggest strength,
way higher.
They list off-ball linebacker. They say it was tempting to pick Jaden Daniels in the quarterbacks, but the terrific Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu duo is too good to pass up.
Well, that's just stupid. He's doing a different bit.
This is crazy. I mean, this is analytical, but Louvu is the only NFL player last year with 250 plus tackles and a 20 plus sacks over the past three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, the he's only hyper, he's the hyper only productive. Guy.
He's it.
That, I mean, he's as valuable as anybody.
Do we know where they finished last year?
I don't think they have last year's results listed here.
I would bet they were in the bottom 10 for sure.
I would, in rosters. That's probably a good guess. Maybe bottom 5 to 7.
They might have been in that bottom 3. They had the number 2 pick.
And I brought this up with Kevin Sheehan. I mean, I threw it out there because, you know, we were talking to Kevin about the team, but biggest weakness they have is safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that up with them, with obviously Kwan, and we'll see if Will Harris is going to stay the starter there.
I still think that stopping the run is the biggest question for them.
Yeah.
I think the offense has been upgraded for sure. Obviously, you want Terry to be there, but the additions of Debo and Laremy Tunsil, just those two upgrade mm-hmm. offensively. But I don't know if they've upgraded. I know they brought in Kinlaw, but you lost Jonathan Allen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've upgraded the defensive line to stop the run.
Well, Johnny Newton's got to be that guy. Remember how happy they were to get him
yep.
2 years ago
he
in the draft?
Because of the foot injury.
He and slipped they landed loved him.
Yep.
So he's got to be that guy now.
Their X factor for 2025, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. Mm-hmm. In his limited time with Washington last season, Lattimore didn't look like the top flight corner he's been in the past, but the Commanders need him to be. Pass rush is a serious concern. Washington will need Lattimore, Mike Sanders still, and rookie Trey Amos to lock down opposing wideouts.
I also think a huge X factor for 2025 is replicating the success that Zach Ertz had. He was huge. He came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He literally rose from the dead.
He was a great addition.
Rose from the dead. And led them, you know, receiving wise along with Terry. Can he do that, anything close to that again? That to me is a big X factor.
I just think can he stay healthy? Because that had been the real question for him.
That's part of it.
The prior 4 or 5 seasons. He just couldn't string together 17 games.
Yeah, his production was there when he played, but I believe the season before he joined Washington, he played 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, he had great years prior, but it'd been a while.
Oh, yeah.
From the dead.
His Pro Bowls were with Philadelphia, not with Arizona.
Yeah.
But if you look at his numbers in the 2 years he was with Kingsbury, he put up pretty good numbers. He just missed games.
Yeah.
I might be the only one that cares, but I need Ben Sinnott to take a step forward. And I know that it might be tough with Zach Ertz there, and they re-signed John Bates. I need to start seeing some dividends coming back from that investment in year 2.
Hmm.
It can't just
I don't
be,
care where the production comes from. Like, it could come from
care.
Ertz. I know. You seem fixated that it has to be from Sinnott.
Well, I think when you spend
But if Ertz is better, I'm going to play Ertz.
Understood. But then that means a second-round pick is basically a swing and a miss.
If it is, I'm not going to force a guy. I'm not going to play a guy if he's not deserving.
To produce.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you want Sinnott to be here for 5 years and be super productive, but, I mean, you're living in the now. We just need somebody to produce.
Right. I'm not going to hold on to guys just because I drafted them. And I understand it was a previous regime,
mm-hmm.
but we saw last year, bye-bye Jahan Dotson.
Right.
And bye-bye Emmanuel Forbes. Mm-hmm. And bye-bye Jamin Davis. Doesn't matter where you've been drafted. If you're not good enough to be part of this team, you're gone. Yeah,
well, Peters drafted him. That's
okay.
Part and parcel with the problem with this.
Yeah.
You can't just say, oh,
we're gonna
punt this guy.
I hear your complaint. And I understand where it's coming from, a logical place. What were you gonna do? Bench Ertz? Like, Ertz was playing great.
I'm not saying bench Ertz.
Like, what were you gonna do?
Work Sinnott in somehow? I don't know. Am I the only person that?
No, I think.
I don't think you force feed the development of certain guy, like especially like a rando second round tight. Second round is a big pick,
yeah.
But like a rando tight end, like we just need to win games and score f ton of points.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills over here.
No, but what if it turns out if he's just a better blocker?
Oh, then you don't pick him in the second round.
But he wasn't that. He was a stud.
I understand.
Yeah, I actually think he's going to be fine. There's literally no reason to think that when given the opportunity that he will produce. He just hasn't been given an opportunity as far as I could tell.
And he was a lower
draft choice. All right, well, that's Cakes' point. Cakes is just like, all right, we need to see something from him.
He might be like Dyami Brown.
He need to see something.
I mean, I guess. Those guys
I don't know if you can rely on Ertz to have that type of year again.
I think it's unlikely, too. But those guys know. They see him in practice. They know it was like in an hour.
I think that the running game has to be more consistent. Now, I understand they finished third in rushing last year, but that was all because of JD. mean, he had 900 mm-hmm. yards.
Yeah.
When your leading rusher is your quarterback, I just think you need to see more from Robinson and Eckler. Eckler's got to stay healthy, and Robinson, I think, has got to be more consistent. That's just my opinion.
I think you're going to see Kroski Merritt worked in
maybe,
there, too.
Maybe, whoever it is. I just think they need more consistency from the RBs.
Right.
I think they're going to be better because the offensive line's going
to
be better.
And to take more pressure off of JD.
I don't think that Brian Robinson, listen, I don't think he's anything special, clearly, but I don't think Brian Robinson was like missing gaping holes. I think there wasn't much there.
He's just not explosive. I get it.
And he's not gonna create something out of nothing, but if the offensive line is better, he will produce better.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first half of the season, Brian Robinson was pretty damn good. He got hurt. If you look at his 2024 numbers, I think he had, I'm trying to look at the first eight games, he had 6 touchdowns
yep.
in the first 8 games,
mm-hmm.
461 yards. Not mm-hmm. saying it was great, but he was averaging 4.6 yards per carry in the first half of the season.
It's very, very solid, but I don't think there's anything special.
He had a couple.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but you would take the 461 yards and 6 touchdowns. But the problem is, in the second half of the season, he didn't even average 4 yards a carry. He only had 2 touchdowns, and people remember the last 8 games more, but he was banged up.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge factor, and I'm guessing the holes changed.
Maybe. You might
it's not
right.
as big.
So that's what I mean. I just think the running game in general has to be more consistent. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to rely on running your quarterback for 900 yards again. Now, that would be great, especially for fantasy guys. But
and I think
you really want him running that much?
The major concern that most of us had that were Skins fans going into last season was, can this scrawny kid withstand the punishment playing quarterback? And he proved that he could, albeit he had a little couple game stretch there where it was a little dicey and they were wrapping his ribs. I think we've all forgotten that. And I think it should still be a concern.
Played in every game. Back to Brian Robinson in the playoffs. Pretty good game against Detroit. 15 carries, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns, average 5.1 yards per carry.
That's like a great game.
I'm not down on Brian Robinson as much as many people are.
But he had 10 rushes for 16 yards against Tampa, and then he did nothing against the Eagles.
Right, but again, I mean,
all I'm saying is I think it has to be more consistent.
Of course, but do you think that when he got the 16 yards that he just missed 75 yards in holes?
It's the overall running game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be buying a Brian Robinson Jr. jerseys if I were a Commanders fan. Like, I just don't see him being long for the roster.
Like, let's worry about that after the season.
Yeah.
But what if he rushes? What if he does rush? He's been close, right? He's been 900 yards. What if he rushes for 1,100? Then are you ready?
Well, that's an improvement.
It's fine.
Yeah, but
I think
still
he'll probably just sign with another team in the offseason.
Even if he does that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I just don't think he's very special.
Back to Senate?
Yeah.
All right, he's a second round
pick. He's my guy.
Brian Robinson, third round pick.
Yeah.
It's not that different.
No, I mean, Brian Robinson looks like Walter Payton production-wise compared to Ben Senate after one season.
Right. Maybe Senate's going to explode this year. I just wouldn't force it.
I'm not asking for an explosion. I'm just asking for 20 catches.
They just didn't play him.
25 catches?
They didn't play him. And they either didn't play him because he sucks, which I haven't heard, but maybe he just sucks.
Well, I think it's because Zach Ertz played better than expected.
Right, so why do we think that he sucks?
I didn't say he sucks. I just need to see more from him.
I think
everyone agrees.
I actually think you will. I have no reason to think he sucks.
The only way I'd see less is if he disappeared off the face of the earth.
What's his season total? Because he had 28 yards last year.
If you could possibly bet
on Ben Sinnott, season total.
I would say you would want him to get 20 catches.
Yeah, I think that's a good bar. I'm not asking for him to be Travis Kelce all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, considering you have Ertz ahead of him.
The Commanders had a busy offseason. They brought in a bevy of veterans to help upgrade the roster. Javon Kinlaw, Von Miller, Jonathan Jones, Will Harris, Dietrich Wise, Eddie Goldman, Jacob Martin, all on the defensive side of the ball. And it was Harris, the safety, formerly of the New Orleans Saints, who I caught up with after practice today to talk about his first workout on the field in camp with his brand new team.
Kind of like back to school day, first day here with the new organization at training camp. How did everything go? Oh, it went amazing. It went amazing. You know, it's always good to get back on the grass with the guys, get back to playing football. You know what I mean? Had a good break. You know, came in here during OTAs, competed, and excited to get back out here and continue that and lean into that standard that we have here and continue to build that every day.
When you hit the market this offseason, what kind of things were you looking for in a new team, and how did Washington separate themselves?
You know, to be honest, I mean, I was attracted here, man, from the beginning, man. I love, like I said, you know, the standard that we have here, the things that we, that we kind of lean into here, the way guys play for each other here, that love in the building, like everything, you know what I mean? It was a perfect fit, and I wish, you know, it would have happened, you know, it would happen soon. You know, this culture that we have here, you can't fake that. You can't duplicate that. You know what I mean? So, I'm blessed, you know, for the opportunity to be here, and I'm excited to get this team, you know, everything I have.
Was that something you noticed from afar, like in the conference? You guys played them, obviously, in New Orleans last year. You know that now from being here, but could you tell just from playing against them?
100%. I mean, that's something, like I said, you can't fake that. So, you know, even on game day, on the field, that's something that you could, you know, that's tangible. You could see it, you could feel it, you know, you could hear it, you know, guys communicating, guys barking left and right, you know, guys playing with passion, guys playing with that dog, and you know what I mean? And so, and most importantly, guys playing for each other, like, you know, after great plays, after not so great plays. I mean, guys rally around each other, you know, more than I've ever seen, you know, before. So I'm lucky, and I'm very blessed, beyond blessed, to be a part of this.
New commander safety, Will Harris, Aaron Grant and Danny. Obviously, the safety positions changed so much over the years that you guys now do a little bit of both. I'm old enough to remember when you were a strong safety or a free safety, right?
No doubt.
But with you and Quan, how do you kind of see the tandem working, and how do you guys play off each other with your skill sets?
Right. I mean, it's it's amazing because, you know, the coaches do a great job of putting us, in good positions. Whatever they need from us, we're down to do. Every guy in this building, you know, in the DB room, I can speak for. You know, every guy's willing to do the task. You know, whatever that may be. It's our job to come out here and give it 100% and the work and the grind and the study. And then, we take the guidance from, you know, the coaches and the game plan and run with it. And it's fun, man, being out there with, you know, with the guys. So
you're known as one of the more physical players in the league at your position. In an era where contact is frowned upon in some ways, how do you go about that being your image and also toeing that line?
I think it's all about, you know, technique. It's all about proper technique. If you have your technique in line, you guys stay, especially now more than ever, you guys stay cognizant of that for, you know, everyone else's safety and also my safety, you know, making sure that you're playing with proper technique, keeping your head up, keeping your head out of the tackle. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, we got pads on. This is, you know, this is what we sign up for. You know what I mean? It's a physical game. It's a grueling game. And, you know, that's the part I love about it the most. You know what I mean? You can't fake that either. So as long as football still got pads, man, you're going to hear them from me. So as long as we got pads on, man, we clacking, man. That's all I know. So I'm excited about that.
Lastly, fans getting to know you a little bit for the first time. I'm going to just go rapid fire with some get-to-know-you questions here for our listeners. Favorite food, like, you know, last meal type food.
Ooh wee. I'm gonna have to go a good steak. Yeah, for sure.
Last show or movie that you binged?
Squid Games was crazy. Yeah. That was a crazy one. I got through that one in like a day.
Who's your actor of choice?
Tom Hardy. I like Tom Hardy.
Have you seen Lawless? I think it was called, where they're like the old bootleggers, these fighting dudes.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that. But one of my favorite movies, he had a movie where he was playing himself. Like, he was playing like twin brothers with himself. I forgot what that movie was called, but it was
Michael B. Jordan just did that too.
Yeah, exactly. Sinners. And Sinners was a great movie.
That
too.
Was good.
Watch that. That was an amazing one.
If you could take a skill set from another player in the league or part of their game, what would you take?
Ooh, man, I would take. I plan to do this. I want to take some of these pass rush moves off some of these guys up here, man. It look cool, man. These dudes, especially, you know, you got all these guys in front of me, man. They're technicians, and you know, in the pass rush, and you know, I got my stuff, I got my tools, but it'd be cool to, you know, be able to get on them bags with them guys and do what they do. So, but definitely gonna be working on that too, just because it's just good, you know, good to train.
Appreciate you. Welcome to DC.
No doubt. I appreciate it.
Put that Will Harris answer about as long as we got these pads on, they're going to be popping. Hang that in the Louvre for me. I loved that. I like his makeup, his personality. I'm excited about what he's going to bring physically to the back end of the defense. My questions are just based on talking to all the Saints reporters we had on. What kind of cover option is he going to be? How will he do in space when that happens? But when you bring him down in the box, I think you're going to feel him.
That's the idea, right? I don't know that you replicate all the playmaking that Jeremy Chinn had without starting to pay a pretty penny for that. They've shown they don't really want to do that at the safety spot, right? Whether it was letting Cam Curl walk or letting Chinn go after successful runs for both of those guys. He's here basically to be a linebacker and a half. Like, he's coming downhill. He's there to hit. You know, if you're an offensive mind, you're going to try to expose him in coverage a little bit, but, you know, it's up to Witt and Quinn and company not to allow that to happen.